Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that the Lord is blessing you and keeping you no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. You know, today's message is going to be Paul Goes to Athens. Paul Goes to Athens. And it's going to be taken out of Acts 17, Acts chapter 17, verse 16 through 25. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, What is it this blabber trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating a foreign god. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown god. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. You know, very interesting, the Apostle Paul, he went to Athens, and you could imagine today we're going to like Harvard, but they were the philosophers of that day. There, you could imagine going to Cambridge, Harvard, and some of these Ivy League schools with these guys, very prestigious degrees, big philosophers, they had these big temples. You could imagine if you look at some of these cathedrals that are built in Germany and some of these huge architectures that are built not only here in America, but you can imagine these idols that these philosophers had, these big statues, and they even had one called to an unknown god, which they knew there was something more out there. And they constructed this idol along with their huge temples because they knew there was something more out there. And the Apostle Paul said, I can tell you this unknown God. I can tell you this unknown God. You know, these guys who would just sit around and all they would do is they would just discuss about the latest ideas, sort of way a lot of people today, all they do is want to discuss just the latest news. And they're just worried about what's the latest gossip. Well, that's the way it was in Athens. And then the Apostle Paul, he goes, he says, and he looked at these big temples with their beautiful windows and their beautiful doors. And he said, I want to tell you something. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands. He said, the God does not live in temples made by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything. He's saying, you see these big temples? You see these big buildings that you have? He's like, God's not in them. God's not in your big temples. God's not in your big buildings. No. He says, the God, all these statues, all these temples, he says, no, my God don't need those. My God don't need your fancy windows. My God don't need your fancy cathedrals. My God don't need those. He said, because the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the temple. So what was the temple of God? Well, a temple is literally a house of the Lord, a holy sanctuary in which sacred ceremonies and ordinances of the gospel are performed by and for the living and also in behalf of the dead. It's a place where the Lord may come. It is the most holy of any place of worship on the earth. Only the home can compare with the temple of sacredness. Whenever the Lord has had his people on earth who will obey his word, they have been commanded to build temples in which the ordinance of the gospel and other spiritual manifestations that pertain to exaltations and eternal life may be administered. In cases of extreme poverty or emergency, these ordinances may sometimes be done on a mountaintop. Well, I don't know about you, but if you ever go to some of these places around the world, you'll see a lot of the sacred temples are built on a mountain top. I know when I was in South Korea, there was a big Buddhist temple, the Temple of the Shamans, and we also in Thailand, you'd see big temples on the mountain top. This may be the case of Mount Sinai and the Mount of Transfigurations. The tabernacles erected by Moses was a type of portable temple since the Israelites were traveling in the wilderness. Well, and then of course in Moses' days, some of the temples were tents. From Adam to the time of Jesus, ordinances were performed in temples for the living only. Then after Jesus opened the way for the gospel to be preached in the world of spirit, ceremonial work for the dead as well as for the living has been done in temples on the earth by faithful members of the church. Building and properly using the temple is one of the marks of a true church by any dispensation, and is especially so in the present day. Yes. So, you know, in the Old Testament, the temple was a place of worship. God would call his people to build a temple. God would tell his people, I want you to go and build a temple and so I can remain in that temple. You know, the best known temple mentioned in the Bible is that which was built in Jerusalem in the days of Solomon. This was later partially destroyed in 600 BC and restored by Zerubbabel almost 100 years later. This structure was partially burned in 37 BC and was subsequently partially rebuilt by Herod the Great. Although the rebuilding continued until AD 64, it was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. You know, believe it or not, the temple was very important, but we see that the Apostle Paul, he entered the temple in Athens. He went in temple in Athens. And we see that in the Old Testament that God said, this is what I want you to do, the temple. I want you to build a temple. And but we also see in the New Testament how the temple came corrupt. And we see that Jesus went into the temple. We see that the Apostle Paul went into the temple because the temple started becoming corrupt. And the place where Jesus would want to be is in the temple. And I'm here to tell you today that churches today are becoming corrupt in America. The temple, the church, which you call a temple of worship, is a place of corruption. In Matthew 21:12, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the branch of those selling doves. You know, what was the Old Testament, what was supposed to be the temple of the Old Testament, has now become corrupt. They corrupted the temple of God. But you know, after Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says no more is the temple a place of worship. But the Bible says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So in Athens, the Apostle Paul says this. Acts 17, he says, look, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live by temples built by human hands. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, the temple, your body, is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. For you are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk among them and will be their God, and they will be my people. The truth of the matter is today, so many mega churches and para churches, people are more fascinated with the buildings, they're more fascinated with the architecture, they're more fascinated with the beautiful windows, come on, the big cathedrals, the painting on the wall, the ceremonies and traditions, come on somebody, the robes and all the fashions that brings out of the church today. But I'm here to tell you that God says, I'm not in the church anymore. You're going to see that God says no longer the temple is a place, is a building, but He says now your body is the temple. Your body is the temple of the living God. You are the temple. I am the temple, and I will dwell in them and walk in them. God's saying, I'm concerned about the people. I'm not concerned about the building. Too many ministries today, they're taking from the poor and they're pouring all that money back into the building. I think somehow the bigger the building, more people will come. But I'm here to tell you that more people are fascinated with the architecture of the building today. They're more fascinated with the temple and not the temple or not people. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the spirit of Ephesians 2:19. Now you need to understand something this. You need to understand that these passages emphasize that the body of the believer is the temple of God in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells in the believer. It used to be the temple was a physical place that you can see when Paul went to Athens. Though they had a nice big church, nice windows, that somehow God would be there. But the truth of the matter is, when Jesus died on the cross, the temple, hen, the Lamb of God, in Isaiah 53:7, John 1:29, was offered on the cross. The veil of the second temple was torn from top to bottom. Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38. This was a divine indication that the previous separation between God and man, which required elaborate liturgical procedures by the special priesthood, was done away with by Christ. Instead of recognizing a special day once a year when the high priest would enter through the veil into the Holy of Holies to represent the people before the presence of God, a new and living way was consecrated for believers through Christ's body, the blood offered on our behalf. So, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the temple, the veil split in half. No longer would we be, the temple would be a physical place, but now the body the temple would be the body of believers. No longer would be the temple would be a place on the hill, but the temple would be a person, and the Holy Spirit would want to dwell in that individual. No longer would be the temple would be on the highest hill of windows and sparkling glass fixtures of big, come on somebody, crosses. But he said now, once it's been torn on the cross, he says now your body is the temple. God's saying, as the Apostle Paul says, God does not live in temples built by hands, but God wants to live in you. You're the temple. You are the temple. Listen. You are the temple that God wants to live in. He wants to dwell in you now. He wants to dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest of the blood of Jesus by the new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed. He says, now you don't need the Levites. You don't need a high priest to go before in the temple. He says, now you can come boldly before the throne of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. God indwells in you. He doesn't indwell in these big physical places anymore. No. No more is the temple a physical place, but Jesus said that now we are a temple of God, and therefore our emphasis as a church body should not be on the physical outward appearance, but on the in and spiritual inward man. Yes. You know, last week, many churches, they focus more on outward material appearances today than the inward spiritual appearance. Most churches today focus on the outward appearance. That's why you see more and people, they will throw their outward churches. They sometimes will throw their location at you. They will throw the beauty at you. But I'm here to tell you today that, listen, that God does not dwell in the physical outward appearance, no, but He dwells in the inward spiritual man, and you and I are the spiritual temple. The Holy Spirit would reside within each believer in much the same way as the Shekinah glory dwelt in the tabernacle of the temple. Back in the Old Testament, it's very important that the word Shekinah was coined from verbal connents in the Bible, which describes the presence of Jehovah God in a certain location. The verbal connates are as extensively to describe that Shekinah appearance. The word Shekinah itself is not found in the biblical text, but the concept clearly is. The word most certainly is derived from shaken. And whoever first used the word Shekinah coined it as a substantive noun form from the verbal form used to describe the abiding, the dwelling, or habitation of a physical manifestation of the Jehovah God, described in Exodus 24:16-40, chapter 40, verse 39, and Numbers 9:17-18, and various other places where shaken is used. Yes. Shekinah glory. Could you imagine that God would tell in the Old Testament, He would say, I want you to go build a temple. I want you to go build a temple, and then the glory of God is going to hover over this temple. The Shekinah glory, and it's going to remain hovering over this temple. Note that the word is also used to describe the mystical Shekinah presence in the temple, and later in the first and second temples, the word Mishkan, a derivation of shaken, is often translates tabernacle. And the Shekinah glory would come over the temple and it would shake it. And you could feel the power of God in the temple. And when people would build that temple, the Shekinah glory over it. Come on, somebody. The Hebrew for tabernacle is more often simply oel or tent. It would be Mishkan means dwelling place. That is the dwelling place of Him who dwells. Or the Shekinah. Yes, the Shekinah glory, the dwelling place in Him who dwells. So in the Old Testament, they used to make these, you know, they would build these big temples. And then the Shekinah glory of God would dwell in this temple. But God is saying no more is this Shekinah glory dwells in the temple, because after Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil of the second temple was torn. And He says the Shekinah glory of God, it dwells in you and I. The Shekinah glory of God dwells in our bodies. Our body is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not God alone? The Shekinah glory of God. God wants to shake His presence now. When the Apostle Paul entered Athens, he says, don't you think all your cathedrals, your nice windows, your doors, your nice carpets, your pews, your big buildings, come on somebody. He was saying this. He was saying, this is not where God dwells. God dwells in the people. The churches today of America are more concerned about the buildings. They're not concerned about the people. The Hebrew verb Shekan simply means to take up residence for a long period of time in a neighborhood. The distinction between this word and Yashav, which is also translated to dwell, is also follows. You can use the word Yashav to mean an individual doing and dwelling without reference to others or to duration, while Shekin means a protracting dwelling in the midst of a neighborhood or a group of people. The Shekinah glory will God will dwell within a group of people. This was the glory. The primary meaning is to reside and continue as a member of the community. Of course, when it refers to the Jehovah God, it takes on an added mysticism that is obvious from the Scriptures. You know, we see that God wants to dwell in the midst of a group of people. He is not interested with your fancy windows. He is not interested with your big architecture buildings. He's not interested in your location. But God is looking for a group of faithful believers. God is looking to dwell in people. His Holy Spirit wants to fall down and dwell in people. We also see not only the Shekinah glory falls on the temple of the Old Testament, but we see in Ezekiel 10 that the glory can also depart. So God chooses where He wants to dwell. He can stay and He can leave. His power can stay and it can leave. His glory can stay and His glory can leave. Come on, somebody. God's Shekinah glory. I'm here to tell you today that God is not interested in your building. God is not interested in your new windows or your doors, but God is interested in you. You are the temple. Say, I am the temple, and you can come boldly. And He's building a temple with Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of this temple that He's building in my body. The Shekinah glory illuminates us prior to the creation of the sun and moon. This was the glory of Genesis 1, 3, and 14. This was the glory that walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. This was the glory that ratified the Abrahamic covenant while Abraham slept. This was also the glory that descended upon Mount Sinai at the giving of the law. This was the glory when they filled the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was the glory that filled Solomon's temple upon its dedication, and it was also the same Shekinah glory that left the temple due to Israel's sin. Yes, this is the glory, the Shekinah glory that that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was the glory that appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, and it will be the glory that will return to the Millennium Temple and will illuminate the New Jerusalem. Yes. You know, this is the Shekinah glory. God is concerned in you. God wants to fill you with this glory. So many churches today, these big mega churches, they're not interested in the real temple, no. But they want a big building. They're fascinated with the multitudes of people. They want more money. They're not interested in the Shekinah glory. I'm here to tell you today that God is interested in you. When you cry out to Jesus, He wants to fill you with the Shekinah glory. He wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to seal you. Can I get an amen today? I'm here to tell you that God is not concerned with your windows. God is not concerned with your building. God is concerned with you, the real temple. Touch yourself and say, I am the temple. I am the temple. Lord God, dwell in me. Lord God, dwell in me.
But a slow, glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears.